Okay, last time we spoke about Nehemiah, who we call Tarshasa, right? And Hatarshasa is whatever, Hatar to drink in front of the king itself. And we talked about everything that happened. We had one question that goes unanswered, which maybe we'll get to today, maybe we won't. Where's Ezra? Meaning Nehemiah is coming in the 20th year of Darius's reign. Right? Ezra has already left on the 12th year. In the 12th year of Darius' reign, that's when he came in. It's been 8-9 years. It could have been that Ezra left in the 8th year, and this is 12 years later. Right? But it's been a while. But Ezra should have still been around. And for some reason, Nehemiah sees the walls are destroyed, like the people are in disarray, nobody knows what's going on. And the kasha is just like, where did Ezra go? Where is Ezra? Where is Yoshua ben Yotzadik? And we suggested that Yoshua ben Yotzadik died. He was the Kohen Gadol at the time.
Possibly.
It's possible that he passed away. And then we look at Ezra and we say, well, Ezra was also much older. Ezra was alive at the time of the first Korban. He must have been over 70, maybe 80 years old at this time. So he may have been just older. Maybe he passed away. But he couldn't have passed away because we see later on that he is brought in. Parak Tes, he comes to read the Torah in front of the people. So what happened to Ezra exactly? And we're left with that question over here. Now, he talks about what happened over here, the idea of Nehemiah davening and trying to go through. So this is a famous Gemara, a famous psukim, because we see this in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It says, Vayhi, v'chodesh Nisan shnasasun l'tachshasta amelech. It was in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of our Tachshasta, which we said was one of the three names of Darius. Darius the second, Koresh, because he was a melech kasher, and our Tachshasta, which apparently was the Babylonian name of the king. Hamelech yayin lefanov. The yain was in front of him. V'esos a yain, and I was carrying the wine, like I was, that he was the butler. Right, and I gave it over to the king, and I never looked bad before in my life. I knew what it was like to give the wine to the king, and I never ever had that face on me. And the king said, why does your face look so evil? You're not sick. You know what? There must be something going on. Now, the reason why he looked so bad is because he was distracted. He knew he had to ask the king. He was worried about what was going on in Yerushalayim at the time, with the Beis Hamikdash now being destroyed, and the not, you know, all the people out there, you know, taking care of the whatever it is, and he didn't know what to say. So he was scared about Ira Harbe mode, and he was extremely terrified. He had bitachon that everything was going to work out over here, but his self-confidence wavered when he saw that Nehemiah started the conversation by saying, what are you, rebelling against me? And all of a sudden Nehemiah's like, whoa, no, that's not how I want this conversation to go. I do want to build the base of Mikdash, but I didn't want this to sound like a rebellion.
But doesn't
so he got scared
Lave,
for a little bit.
Where do you get rebellion from that?
It seems well, Roa like, Lave,
there's something. You're in a bad mood, so what's wrong?
No. But when he says, Va'ira Harbe Ma'od, I was very afraid. This is not the king just saying like, oh, is something wrong? This is the king saying something's wrong. What's happening with you? Why are you so upset?
But could it be, though, that his fear stemmed more from the fact that now he's going to tell him and have to ask for permission to leave?
Oh, good call. It's possible.
I mean, he's scared to ask the king.
Yeah. And this is a bad omen.
You know, had to go in front of the king, too. Like, you just don't walk up, even if you're allowed to be there.
If Achashverosh would have said right in the beginning when Esther was, like, just walking up and just being like, I hate my wife, right? That would have been a bad omen. Like, this was right there. It's just surprising to me that Nehemiah, who does all the other things so right throughout the entire Sefer, like, goes into the king without a happy countenance, without the right face.
Well, it's hard
it seems
to
take a little strange.
Happy countenance when you don't have a happy countenance.
It just is strange. Like, a guy like this, I am sure the rest of the days was like, he was always like
well,
this.
He says
always
he had never been
himself.
Like that.
He'd yeah, I'm, so why couldn't he do it? But, okay. But Omer Lamelech, Hamelech lo lamichya, said to the king, may the king live forever. Madua lo yiru panai, shere ir beis kivrut avose chareva. How can I not be upset? The city where my fathers are buried is destroyed. Shorel uklu be'esh. Its gates were consumed by fire. Now again, we don't know the history of this. We don't know why this happened, why the gates were destroyed, or who did it. The obvious answer is the Shomronim, the Samaritans, and
right,
the
so is he referring
you know, Judean
to that,
Christians
or is he referring
around.
To the original Korban of the of Nebuchadnezzar?
We don't, no, for sure not, because this is the 20th year of Darius's kingdom. He's already, the second year is when
after,
they started building up.
Wait, so this is after the story form?
Way after. This is Darius II is, you know, the child after Achashverosh. So we're talking about 18 years after the Beis Hamikdash had been rebuilt. And then Ezra went in with his galus, and now we're dealing with, he might have even been around. Nehemiah may have been Zerubbabel. He might have been there already and came back. That's a possibility. So how can I not be upset? And the king said to me, what are you asking for? So Nehemiah said, and I davened to a Kodesh Baruch Hu right over there. He said, I davened to a Kodesh Baruch Hu right at that moment. Now notice over here, he said something over here, the city where my fathers are buried. Apparently that was something that like, he knew that Darius wanted to hear. Darius may have been like more of a family man, family oriented, and he said something like that. He wanted to say something like that. Instead of saying Yerushalayim, the beautiful city, right, the holy city, people knew of Yerushalayim as the rebellious city. And that's exactly how the Shomronim made it sound when they were talking to Koresh. They sent the message back to Koresh and Achashverosh, and they said, oh, you don't want Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the rebellious city. So he didn't say that. He said, the place where my fathers were buried, it struck a chord. Burial places in Persia were extremely important to them, and they knew it. They understood what it was going to be. So we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So it says, if I'm the king, this is a good idea, and if your servant is good in front of you, please send me to Yehuda, to the city of the burial of my fathers, the Evnena, and allow me to build it up again. Allow me to do what I need to do. And the king said to me, and this is an interesting line that's thrown in here, and the queen was sitting by him. Now this is a very, very interesting line.
Does it literally mean we're consort?
The consort or concubine would be the right word over here. But Shegel is referring to the queen in this line. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that this maybe there was a tradition that this refers to a dog. That Artaxasta or Darius II had a dog that he was close with. Not that he was together with and whatever. We don't have to say it like that.
Is.
But it says it was as beloved to him as a Shegel is. And that's what it meant. He had his dog. He's sitting by his dog itself. Now,
like
the Pashup shot is definitely referring to the queen. Listen to the Medrash. The Medrash says his stepmother, possibly mother, but unlikely, Queen Esther, was sitting there. And Queen Esther was there saying, this is a good idea. This is a great idea. The one who had given him the idea in the first place to allow for the Beis Hamikdash to start being rebuilt, because she was around and she influenced him since she was in Achashverosh's palace.
Yeah,
would you
refer to Esther of all people?
As the Shegel?
The Shegel.
Yeah,
right.
Now, that's a great call, because the word consort doesn't refer to it. The Gemara, it's not a Gemara. The Malbim brings this down, and it is brought down in the Medrash. But it is a weird word, because you'd think it would be anything else. Now, we did say that Daryavish is known as Daryavish ben Esther. Tosus brings that down. But we said already that it's unlikely Daryavish was actually the son of Esther, because that meant that he would have become king when he was only 6 years old. That's unlikely, not totally out of the whatever, but it seems unlikely.
Also,
but you should know, Rav Schwab says exactly that. He says it's not likely that it's Esther, because it would be inappropriate for her to be described as Hashegel, which normally refers to a physical relationship. But either way, but that's one of the ideas.
It's so much so refers to a physical relationship that the Torah has a Kriya Niksiv for that word.
Yeah, yeah. Shaglana, you mean?
Yishacher, Yishkalena. Yeah, Yishkalena. Yishkalena.
Yeah, very, very good call. Very good call. Ad Masayim Alachech, Umasay Tashu Mahalchecho, Umasay Tashu. Okay, how long will you go? When will you come back? Vayitel Zivnei Amalach. Right, it was good in the eyes of the king. And he sent me back into those money, and I gave him a time. I gave him a time to go, how long I was going to be gone there, and how long it was going to be. Right, so that's that. Now, so according to the end of the Sefer, right, we're going to see toward the end, it's going to be 12 years. He was given 12 years to go.
That's,
this is going to be some.
So
we're going to see how long
you can go for 12 years. I'll see you in 12 years.
Yeah,
that's
it's pretty cool, isn't it? Right, that he went back.
It seems
he's
like
going to be the governor. This is going to be like almost like a governorship that he gave him.
That's what he
to be over there.
Eventually.
No. Now. We're going to see right now. And I said to the king, if it's good to the king, I'd like to have letters given to me to be given to the governors of the other side of the river. Remember, for them, the other side of the river was Israel. Right? So that they can allow me to pass until I get to Yehuda. I need permission to go. They're going to stop me if I just go on my own. I need letters. And I need a letter to Asaf, who's the keeper of the trees, the orchard of the king. In order to have wood, right, to create the beams and the gates, right, for the palace at Shalabayas that will be needed for the base of Mikdash, the Homas Eir, and for the walls of the city of Labayas at Shalabay Love, and to the base of Mikdash that I'm coming to. And the king gave me according to the good hand of the God that was with me the entire time. He asked for wood. He asked, please, I need a ton of wood
from
as well.
From the private orchard.
From the private orchard, which is crazy stuff. I need the good cypress. I need the cedars.
So his gardener was a Jew. He surrounded himself with a lot of Jews, apparently.
The gardener?
Asaf. That's a Jewish name.
Oh, it does sound like a Jew. I don't know if it was, but it's very possible that it was. Right, but that's that. Either way, so that. And also, Labayza Shavol, I love. He also needed a palace. He needs somewhere to live. So Nechemiah said, I need not only for this, but I also need for other things as well.
Bias is the base of Mikdash.
Now, definitely there, but look at the words over here. It says, Sharei Habira Asher Labayis, or Lachoma Seir, but Labayis Asher Voila. So one of those probably is his own palace. Vavol Pachavos Eivor Anarva Et Nolahem. So I came to the Pashas, you know, the people that were in charge of the Eivor Anarva Et Nolahem as Igros HaMelech, and I gave them over the letters of the king that the king gave them. Yishilchem Yamelech, Sarichal Parashim. Now, this, unlike Ezra, if you remember before, we saw that Ezra did not take any people with him, and it was a miracle that he made it through. He made up Tfilas Aderech, right, to be able to go through because he only had 1,500 people with him. Before him, the second year of Darius's reign, 32,000, possibly 37,000. And Ezra went with 1,500. He was too embarrassed to ask the king for officers. Nehemiah was going by himself, really. So he pulls together these guys. Yeah.
It seems like Nehemiah was a higher ranking officer.
Definitely. Ezra, however, had very big accolades from the king. That
right,
he was going to be
more
in charge, and he was going to be there.
The Jewish people,
true. But not just the real. He was the person in charge. He was given permission to judge and to give malchus and to give, you know, fines and everything. That's what we said before. So Ezra was the physical judge as well.
They gave, you know, he was a physical judge, but he was the Jewish judge, meaning I'm giving you power over the Jews.
I think over the people there. Ezra was given the power over the people there, which probably got them to hate the Jews even more so, which led to what happened. That's true. He was not the drink, you know, the one who gave the drinks to the king, but he definitely was close to the king. Okay. Ezra Sofer did have a direct relationship with the king itself, but he had an army escort over here. Sari Chil Parashim. He had these officers and these whatever horsemen that came with him. A Yishva. Sanbalat HaChorani, the Tovia HaEved. So Sanbalat and Tovia, the slave, HaAmoni, who was an Ammoni, they heard about this. And it was very evil in their eyes. That somebody was going to come to seek the welfare for the people of Israel. They were the ones who took over. Remember, Sanbalat, we're going to hear a bunch. He isn't a very evil person. On the other hand, Tovia was related to Jews. He may have married into the Jews. We said before that there were some people who were already...
Tovia.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it comes directly from him because there is another Tovia, right? But regardless, Tovia had married into the Jews themselves, and these Ammonim were Semitic, so you'd assume that they may have had some type of Hebrew word or whatever it is, but we do see that Tovia is going to be related to the Jews somehow. Avol Yerushalayim, I came to Yerushalayim, Yisham Yom Yishlosha, and I stayed there for 3 days, I guess, to be able to rest from the road, etc. That was normal then. But Alkum Lailan, I got up at night. Specifically at night, I didn't want people to know what I was going to do, because if people found out what I was doing, then obviously it's going to be a big problem. It was clandestine. They didn't want anyone to see. So he says, Aniva Anashama At Imi. I went with a few people with me. Fully God is the law of them. I didn't tell anybody. Malohai knows in Alibi what God put into my heart to do. Lasos Yerushalayim. Ubehema inimi. I didn't take any animals. Kim behema shin rochibah. There was only my animal that I rode on because he was a very important official, so he needed it. But he didn't let anybody else ride animals, and that's that. Everybody else rode on foot. It says, walked on foot. But Eitz of Ashar guy. And I went to the valley gate, the gate of the valley, Lila. Now, that's likely the gate that now is close to Shar HaShbot that leads down to the valley, although it could have been another one around the base of Mikdash that we don't have. I'm sorry? Yeah, like somewhere around there that leads down to that valley there, or possibly even further by the base of Mikdash down. But both those areas go down.
He was Shar HaGai at the gas station.
It's yes, possible. He probably saw the gas station, right? It says, and toward the face of the serpent's well, which obviously we have no idea what that is. I've never even heard of it before. But the serpent's well, the El Shar Ashbos, and there was a gate of Ashbot, the dung gate, whatever that was. Because again, you're right that the walls that are created nowadays that were made by, what's his name, 700 years ago, 600 years ago.
Saladin,
right.
Suleiman.
Suleiman? Right, that's what it was. Right, from Turkey. But whatever this Shar HaShbot was, Vayi Shover Bechomos, and I went through Sover Bechomos Yerushalayim, I went through the walls of Yerushalayim, Asherim Prutzen, they were all broken, Ushora Ukla Be'esh, and the gates were filled with fire, they were burned in fire. Then Vorel Shara Ayin, and went over to the gate of, by the spring, Vel Berech Samelech, to the area where there were the Berech Samelech, to the pools of the king. There was no room for the animal under me to pass through, because the walls were so messed up, and all the stones were everywhere, I couldn't ride my animal through. That's how bad it was. And I was climbing up that valley at night, or the wadi. And I was checking out the wall. And then I came back. And I came back through that gate, and I returned back to where I was. The officers had no idea where I went, or what I was doing. Because if they knew, then they would try to stop it from the beginning. I did not even tell the Jews, the Kohanim. Notice, by the way, Yehudim are the regular Jews, right? Kohanim are the Levim, because nobody else was there. There could have been Binyamin and some of the other Shvatim. We already said by Ezra that he did bring 12 Shvatim up with him so that every Sheva would be represented, so they could bring Korbanos for all of them. But nonetheless, it calls them Kohanim. And the Chorim, the freemen, right? Those are the freemen, because there were quite a few slaves there. Saganim, the important people. And the other workers. I'm sorry?
Wouldn't that be someone from Haran?
Chorim should be like Chirus, shouldn't it be?
Sanballat HaChorani.
Don't think it's the same person. But I didn't tell them. It was the Ganim. And anybody else, I did not tell anybody over here. He says over here, the nobleman. But Omar Aleim, and I said to them, Atem roim haro asher anachnu bo. Do you see how terrible the condition is over here? Asher Yerushalayim charevo, sharen nitzto ba'esh. L'chu v'niv ne'eschom v'shalayim, let's go build up the walls of Yerushalayim. V'lein ya'od cherpa. We don't want this to be, like, this is disgusting over here. Have you no self-respect over here? Let's make this respectable. Let's try to bring this back to the way that it was beforehand. V'agilam is yad alakai asher hi toivo alai. I told them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been with me for quite a bit. Rev Avdi V'ri HaMelech Hashem Amar Li, in the words of the king that were with me, v'yomru, and they said, Nakum v'aninu, let's get up and we'll build it. V'chazku yedeim l'tova. And they strengthened their hands for the good. Now again, it seems like this area was leaderless. Again, Ezra is still alive, but it seems that Ezra had taken a back seat, that he no longer was in charge, and most likely due to his extreme frailty in old age. Definitely was over 70, but how old he was, I don't know, maybe 80, 90. Because he comes up later. He speaks. Oh, okay. So he is here. He reads out. But he said, we have to do something over here, but we have no idea.
Could be he just didn't have the resources to rebuild the walls.
But you'd think he'd talk to Ezra. You'd think there'd be a conversation here. Instead, he's just talking to these people and saying, what's going on here? And he's not. Okay, let's do it. Right? And they strengthen their hands so they go up. Until now, they were scared because obviously they had just been destroyed. Right? They did. Vayishma, Sambalat, Choroni, Utovia, Eved Almoni. So Sambalat and Utovia heard about it. Geshem, Arvi, and not only that, but Geshem, the Arab. Again, you see like a very Hebrew name, but I've never heard a person by the name of Geshem. You ever heard of that name?
No.
I've never heard Geshem before.
It'll come back, though.
Never heard it. Vayaligulanu. They made fun of us. They scoffed it. At first, they made fun of it. They're like, yuck, whatever. Vayivzulanu, they made fun of us. They scorned us. What are you doing over here? Ha'ala melechatamordim? You think you guys are going to rebel against the king? But at first, they said it like that. And I answered them. And I said to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause it to succeed. We're his servants. We're going to get up. We're going to build. You have no share. You have no rights. You have no memory, remembrance of anything in Yerushalayim itself. You have nothing. There is nothing over here. Now, before we already said that Ezra was approached by some of the people before to be able to help build the walls of Yerushalayim, and Ezra rejected them outright. You have nothing to do with it. Nehemiah is saying that again, forcefully. At first, maybe they were trying to get in a little bit, like, all right, if we're building, let's come and build. And Nehemiah told them, no, you have nothing to do with this. You have nothing over here. You will be forgotten completely. He does say a little bit of a, what's it called? I don't think it's over here, but Rav Schwab says, a funny thing. It's like the Palestinians. Palestinians of nowadays. He does. He says it. Like the Palestinians of nowadays who have no rights but come in. That's what they were like. He says it. I just don't remember where he said it. I'll find it somewhere. So El Yashiv, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time, and his brothers the Kohanim, even on Sharatzon, the Kohanim themselves built up the gate of the sheep. That's where they would bring the sheep in, obviously, to bring korbanos. Hey, Mekichu, they were Mekadeshit. Rabbi Amdud also, so they put up the doors.
The Beis HaMikdash or gate of Yerushalayim?
It must have been a gate around the Beis HaMikdash, because this is the way to bring in the sheep. But Migdal HaMeah Kidshu, and until the 100th tower, they were able to Mekadeshit, Ad Migdal Hanana, all the way until the Tower of Hananel itself, Al Yado Banu Anshe Yericho, and right next to it, the people of Yericho got together and they built another area, Al Yado Banu Zakor Ben Imri, and right next to it, Zakor Ben Imri. So now we're going through certain people. So Al Yashiv was the grandson of Yoshua Ben Yotzadak. He was the grandson of that Kohen Gadol who had originally come. Yoshua Ben Yotzadak, remember, was extremely old, right? Because he was the son.
Al Yashiv must be pretty old.
Yeah, he must have been pretty old also, but Yoshua Ben Yotzadak died already. That's the likelihood because you don't see him anymore. He was the son of Yotzadak, who was the last Kohen Gadol of the first Beis HaMikdash. So this was his great-grandson, the last Kohen Gadol of the first Beis HaMikdash. His great-grandson was this great person over here.
Did they not describe, did Nehemiah not describe the state of the actual Beis HaMikdash on his little tour that he just went on? Like, he was talking about the
wall. Yeah, he did. He was describing the different areas.
No, he was talking about the wall. He didn't. Where did he describe the Beis HaMikdash itself?
Oh, the Beis HaMikdash on the inside?
Yeah, like
the structure
now,
that
like,
they had at that time.
It could be that he was only going through the structural damage on the outside because that's what he was able to see in a quick go-around. And he worked on that. It could be the Beis HaMikdash wasn't as destroyed, that
maybe
they allowed
the
spiritual
He'd only
power.
Been there for 3 days. Maybe it wasn't tower to go up there.
Maybe he hasn't seen it yet. That's possible. It's possible that he didn't have
were
it.
Were they not sacrificing there?
It might be they were sacrificing, but it could be because Kiddush Rishon and Kiddush Rishon and Kiddush Lashad and Kiddush Lashavo. So even if the Mizbeach was destroyed, they could still sacrifice in that area. But I don't know. We don't know. We don't have it. But it is interesting. You're right. I never thought of that. I was going through this before. It does not say what happened over here. The craziest thing is that this is going to be built very, very quickly. 52 days is how long it took to rebuild everything, which was totally against Sanballat. Never imagined that it was going to be that quick. That's why he didn't complain at all. But let's see what happens. That's Shara Dog. There was the fish gate. Apparently, there was probably a market there. Bunu Bnei Asna'a, the people of Sana'a, they built it up. Hemekei Ruhu, they're the ones who erected the area. Amidu Dal Sosam on Ula Vavricha, they put up the locks and the bars. Val Yadam Hachzeh Maremos Ben Uriya Ben Akaitz, right next to it, Maremos, right? He put up Val Yadam Hachzeh Meshulam Ben Brachia Ben Meshe Zav El, Val Yadam Hachzeh Tzadok Ben Banav, Val Yadam Hachzeh Kot Koyim, Badi Rehem, and all of their areas, right? But their power, Badi Rehem Lohe View Tzavaram, Vavodas Adonim. But the powerful ones there, the princes, they did not go into this avoda. They decided not to work. They considered it beneath their dignity to work in the Beis HaMikdash, and this is there forever for us to remember that those people didn't work there.
It says right? That Rashi says Adirehem is the Ashirim, the rich people.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? The very powerful ones. Veshar Yishana, the old gates, Hachziku Yo Yoda Ben Paseach, Meshulam Ben Besodia. Nice names, right? Hema Keru, they're the ones who piddled the walls. Amidu Dal Sosa, Manula Vavrichov, the other Mechazim Alatia, Givoni, the Yodan Mironosi. Right, so it says Anshe Givon, Amitzpah, those areas right over there of Mitzpah, of Gidon and Mitzpah, Lechise Pachase Varanar, right, for the throne of the Pasha, this would be the throne of Nechemiah himself. Ayadu Achse Guzio ben Harhaya, Tsorfim, they were the smiths. Val Yadu Achse Hanani ben Arakochim, the Asu Yushalayim Adachoyim HaRachava. Then they fortified Yushalayim all the way up until the wall itself, right, those people. They were doing all the wall, all the rules and all the walls. Yadam Achzik Rafayi ben Chur, Sar Chatzi Pelach Yerushalayim, Yadam Achzik Yedoya ben Harumaf, Benege Beso, right, and all the people around there, opposite his house. Yadam Achzik Chatush ben Chashavnia, Midashenis, right, so now a second measure. Achzik Malkiya ben Charim, Chashuv ben Pachas Moav, the East Migdal Atanurim, and so to the Tower of the Ovens. I guess that's where they cook together, like the communal ovens. Well, Yadam Achzik Shalom ben Alochesh, Sar Chatzi Pelach Yerushalayim, he was the officer. Or the other half of the city of Yerushalayim, who of an oath of him and his daughters, apparently he didn't have any sons. Esharagai Hachzik Hanun, Vyoshe Zanoach.
Is Benosov literally his daughters or the suburbs, like the little towns outside of Yerushalayim?
No, because it's referring to him. I think so. Shalom ben Alochesh, he and his daughters.
Okay.
What do you? There's no targum. Hema vanuhu beyamidu talsosa minuelov barichov the elavam v'choma ad shara shafos. Right, they went 1,000 cubits of the wall. They built up all the way to shara shafos, and it's amazing how much they were going through over here. So it says in the Medrash, the daughters were especially capable women who were experts in crafts, and that's the reason why they were chosen over here. They're mentioned. They shara shpot, right? This dung gate hechzik the malkiya ben Rechov. Malkiya ben Rechov took care of that one. Right, they rebuilt the entire area. Sar Palach Beis HaKarim, he was the Sar of Beis HaKarim. Hu Yivnenu, he built it up Yama, Dulsot, Manula, Bericha, Beis Shara Ayin, Hazel Shalom Ben Kol Chayze, that's a great name, Kol Chayze. Sar Palach HaMitzvah, he was the Sar, the officer of Mitzvah. Hu Yivnenu, Yitalenu, he covered it up. The Amid Dal Sos Manula Bericha, the Ace Chomas Brechas HaShelach, and the walls of the pool of Shelach, the Shiloh. Right, the Shiloach pool, that's what it's called, that's right. The Gan HaMelech, right by the Garden of the King. About a mile of Yoros Meir David, under those steps that went down from the city of David. Achra Vechaz Nechamiah ben Azbuk, Sar Chatzifel Beis Tzur. He was the Sar of half of Beis Tzur. I neged Kivrei David, all the way up until the Kivrei David, the Kvarim of David, Vada Brecho, Asuya, up until the certain man-made pool. That basically burned until the place was strong. Achra Vechaz Gualavim, Rechum Ben Bani, Al Yodah Vechaz Chashavya, Sar Chatzifel Ki'ilo, Lefil Ko. Okay, Achra Vechaz Gualachem, Bavai Ben Chaynadad, right, Sar Chatzifel Ki'ilo, Vechazekel Yodo Ezer Ben Yeshua, Sarah Mitzpah, Midashenis, he did a second one right over here, right, that he was one in charge of me, Neged Alos Aneshaka Miksoa, right, all the way to the armory. Akhrov Hechra Hechzik Baruch Ben Zakai. So after that, Baruch Ben Zakai, he did it quickly. strengthen it up. Mida Sheni is another time in a Mikzoa and Tazav Yisrael Yashiv, a Kohen Gadol, all the way up to the house of the Yashiv, the Kohen Gadol over here. So I guess maybe he was energetic, and after he finished his first part, he did a second. Achar Pachasim Maremos Ben Uriah Ben Akotz Mida Sheni, he did it again. Mida Tazav Yisrael Yashiv, a Tazav Yisrael Yashiv, Achar Pachasim Ganim Gan Sheakikar, Achar Pachasim Ben Yamin. It's like going through the walls, like each part made the Chasher Negabesim Achar Pachasim Azariah Ben Maseya Ben Ananya Yisrael Beisel.
It's been dedicated built by every cool.
But like, if you can think, like, everybody's doing their own part at their time. Like, there's tons of workers where the same. Like, everybody just quit their jobs, stopped what they were doing, and just said, like, we're building the walls right now. And in 2 months, they were able to finish everything. You can all these people right there. Binui ben Chinadod, Mida Shenis, Mida Zazari from Bezar, and Mixo, Arapino, Paul ben Uzai, Mida Mixo, and Migdal, Yosim, Bez Melacha, Elion, and Shelachat from Matora, Akra, Pidio ben Parosh. I don't have much over here, so I would say if there's anything else that I have. Vanesinim, Hayoshim, Baofo, the Nesinim, remember the Nesinim were the people that were not Jewish. They were water carriers and wood choppers who worked for the Beis Hamikdash, but they were not Jewish. They couldn't marry into Jews. They were living in Ophel, and the amazing thing is that they kept their residency, either in Yerushalayim or in Babel. They kept themselves as Nesinim. They didn't intermarry ever. The Jews intermarried. The Nesinim did not. That's the most amazing thing about the Nesinim. Ad neged sharam mayim until the gate of the mayim la mizrach toward the east, Migdal Yotze, and toward the gate that went out. Achrav ezu atkoyim the tkoim midashenis. The second time neged Migdal Gadol Yotze atkoim is oifel. Me'al sharas susim akziko akani mishul nagebeso. Right by the gate of the horses where they put the horses in. Achrav ezu zar ben imer nagebeso. Achrav ezu shmai ben shchania shomer sharam mizrach. Achrav hakzik chanani ben shlemia chanim. Ben Salaf Ashishi, Mida Shani, he was the sixth. I don't know what that means. He was like the sixth. Like, that's almost like, you know, like he had five generations of the exact same name. Akrav Hexik Meshulam Ben Berechia, Neganishkasoi. Akrav Hexik Malkia Ben Sorfi, right? He was, I guess, a smith. Abbas in the scene of Arochlim. All the merchants over here, right? And stuff like that. Negan Shara Mifgad, Badalia Sapina. Obviously, the Mifgad gate all the way up to that area.
Somewhere else.
I'm sorry?
Is there a Meshulam Ben Berechia?
It can't be this guy. But maybe there is somebody named Brechia. It's possible. That is possible. Ben Elias Apina Lasharat Son, right, going up between the stairway to the upper chamber, the sheep. Hakziu Otor from Varochlim. Vayikasher Shama Sanavlad. Sanavlad. So when Sanavlad heard about this, Anachnu Bone, right, that they hear Ki Anachnu Bone was Achonim. Vayichlo, he got so angry. Vayichas Harbi, he got so upset. By Yaligal Yehudim, he started making fun of the Jews to try to get them to stop. Like, oh, you guys are a bunch of fools and whatever it is. He goes right over here and that stuff like that. And he said in front of his brothers, the Chel Shomron and the army of Samaritans, you know, the army of the Shomronim. What are these feeble Jews doing? Right? And that's that. Now, time out over here. Nehemiah is writing these lines. Remember, this is not the Torah. This is the Navi. And it's possible, I can't tell you for sure, that Nehemiah is not even a full Navi. He may not have been a Navi. How does he know what's going on in Sanballat's mind? I know what's going on. So the obvious answer is, well, he's guessing what's going on over here. Well, there is a Gemara Megillah that says that Mordechai knew what Haman was thinking, and therefore it shows his Ruach HaKodesh.
It could
be
clear also, Vayichar lo vayichas harbe, meaning if he sees that he's getting angry, it must be he's angry.
So he's saying these lines right here. So there is an amazing line. Rashab comes up, it's a chop. There were Jews that lived in the Samaritan areas. Those Jews later told Nehemiah what Sanballat was telling everybody and what he was doing. So he heard later on, from he didn't know at the time, you know, at that moment he might not have known, but later on he was told what was happening. The Jews might have infiltrated Sanballat's meetings. If Nehemiah was smart, which he clearly was, a brilliant, brilliant man, it would make sense that he had spies going on in Sanballat and Tovia's corner, trying to make sure that anything that was happening by them, he would find out about right away.
Did he have enough power to put him in jail or something?
Yes and no. You do that, you're far away from Babel right now, and you may not have an army big enough to fight against all the armies that would fight against you. If you have the Ammonim, the Moabim, the people around, whoever was there,
they're all subservient to the Persians also.
Let's say there were a few. You don't have that big of an army. He had a couple,
under
the king, and he could probably call an army, but he'll be killed before they come. Let's say they get out there. I'm sure he didn't want to take that chance. Right, and we do see throughout, you never see Nehemiah fighting. That might not have been his forte. Maybe it wasn't his forte and he didn't want to do it. Hayazul lahem. Are we going to be able to leave it for them? Hayiz bachu. Are we going to let them shecht? Hayichalu bayom. Are we going to let them finish on this day? Hayichayu was alvana me'aremos ha'offer. The hema srufos. Are we going to let them retrieve those stones, right? While they're burned, are we going to let them do all this? What are we doing over here? V'tovya amoni etzlo. Tovya then when he was bayim. Vayomer gamasharim bonim imyala shu'ol. Even that which they're building, right? If a fox would go in it, uparts komos havem. Everything would just collapse. It's like, this isn't like heavy building. They don't know what they're doing. These aren't experts. These aren't builders. These are the Kohanim and the Levites getting up. Yeah, the Jews don't know how to build. They didn't hire Arabs. They're doing it themselves. I mean, come on. These guys don't know what they're doing over here, right? They're just not involved. Like, what's going on over here? We don't have to worry about any of this stuff. They're trying to say it's like these guys are incapable. They're just a bunch of, you know, ragtag team of misfits that are not doing anything. Shema Eloheinu ki hayinu vuza. Hear our God. Right? This is
the first Nechamia Israeli contractors.
Ah, very good. Very, very good. Shmaloheinu. So Nechemiah now says, listen, our God, look, we were ashamed in contempt. Their cherpa went right back in their head. They should be robbed in the land that they are captured. Do not cover up their sin. And their sin should be in front of you. Don't erase them. Because they were so angry at those people over here. So it is interesting because it is true. At the end of the day, the Shomronim, or the Kusim, as they were called beforehand, right, were made at some point, not now, but over the next 100 years or so, 200 years, 300 years or so, by the Tanoim, they were made into full-fledged non-Jewish idol worshippers. That apparently they had gone back on what they had done. We always had that kasha, were the Kusim Geri Arios or the Geri Amis? And maybe we had this discussion before. Can you take away the Gerus of somebody? And it's throughout. I mean, there's like four or five Gemaras that mention whether the Geri Arios or not. If somebody becomes a Ger, can you take away their Gerusness? No, you can't. So what the Kusim may have done is they may have been Jewish at some point, but they intermarried and he couldn't tell who they were. So the Chachamim at one point, the Tanaim got up and they said, they're full-fledged idol worshippers. They have no sheikhs to Judaism. If they want to marry a Jew, they have to convert.
They couldn't follow their... It seems more that I would because assume it was that Gary Arios, they were never Gary to begin with.
That's Arios, Arios, right? Because Arios would be...
Well, no, Arios with an Aleph, not an Ayin.
Is it spelled... It's pronounced Arios? I thought it was Arios.
I think it's Arios. Arios. Gary Arai.
Okay, so it's two patas? I would think it would be Arios. That's how I always understood it. Gary Arias no, would be Ayin Resh. Yudvav Sof.
Whatever
I
it
don't
is.
Know. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Meaning that they were never Gerim to begin with, or they were Gerim to begin with, but they intermarried so much
that eventually it was just gone. Yeah.
So, I mean, is that something that you would eventually say about Reformed Jews who have an 80% intermarriage rate?
Yeah, or if
you
could, we do already, yeah.
No, but
yeah.
you could follow...
Oh, to say that they're totally everyone? Even
yeah, I mean, you could say, like, okay, your mother and her mother, okay, you're Jewish, you're not. Like,
That's a hard line. I'll tell you something really quick. Like somebody asked me today, like, what was the biggest issue? They were talking about something in history, they were going through their tests, and like, Rabbi, what was the worst part? It was during breakfast. What was the worst part of the French Revolution? So I was like, Reformed Judaism.
That started in Germany.
I know. But the idea of freedom started going through and people felt that they could do their own thing and start going out. That idea of freedom, Chassam Sofer writes about it, he said it started with Napoleon. That's what he said. So, goodbye. I have to find that again. I don't know where it was. It was in the Drushes. He said Napoleon
well, then
started.
Then is it better to live under, you know, Polish rule in the 1600s or in America?
Kasha.
I mean.
Yeah. That's a solid kasha. I think we know. But Nivne Sachoma. So we built the wall. Right, the whole wall was joined together up until a half. And the people's heart was set on doing it. They realized, like, this is working. This is going well. This is unbelievable. Like, everything's going really well. So now all the people are in. Like, Ashdodim. Ashdodim must have been the remnants of the Plishtim that were still there. The Plishtim were long gone by now. The Plishtim were already exiled by Sancheriv and his men, Sancheriv's kids. But the Ashdodim, the people of Asher, whoever they were, that the walls of Yerushalayim were repaired, that all the breaches were totally sealed up. They got so angry that they all got together to wage war against Yerushalayim and to make it into, you know, a heap, to make confusion, to do anything like that, right? They wanted to make some type of, they wanted to lower their guard. They wanted to kill as many people possible. They wanted to demoralize them. They wanted to do something. So Nehemiah said, we prayed to God. And we made a guard, day and night, to take care of them, to make sure. Where did Nehemiah get this idea from? He must have heard from his spies, from the people out there. And Yehuda said, right, meaning the people out there, I would assume the people of Yerushalayim, the power over here, right, is failing. The Alfar Harbe, there's so much dirt. What else are we going to do? How are we going to build up these walls? We don't have enough stuff to build up the walls. Right, but the enemy said they don't know, they're not going to see, right, El Tocham until we come within them, and then we'll kill them, and we'll stop the work, meaning we're going to come in like all at once. Right, when the Jews who lived near them came, right, they told us, as Nehemiah speaking, Esther Palmim Mikol Makomos, Asher Shuvo Aleinu. There were about 10 times about the places they were occupied, attacked us, so that we had these, like, there was a surprise attack that was mounted. The surprise attack was mounted 10 different places around the city with a bunch of people in each place, right? Their plan was to overwhelm and kill the defenders, the Mishmars that they had made over there, right, and everything. And there was an impending attack. They knew it was going to happen, right? That's what they're expecting. Maybe we'll finish this paragraph. The Amid, and I stood mitachtios, under covers, in the place of Me'achrei Lechom, on the other side of the wall, batzchichin, in the different rocks and stuff. The Amid is Amle Mishpachos, and I stood the people, according to their families, from Karbosan, with their swords, from Chayim V'Kashtosan, with their spears in the bows. I had everybody ready to pounce on anybody once they came inside. The Erev Akum. When I saw, I arose, and I went to the princes, and went to the officers, and all the people, and I said, don't be afraid. Don't show any fear. If you give in, right, and start letting them in, that's how we're going to lose this war. I said, remember Hashem. And fight for your brothers, for your sons, for your daughters, your wives, and for your houses. It could be that the princes and the people that were in charge were already promised by Sanballat and the other people, hey, remember what it was like before Nehemiah came 52 days ago? Remember what it was like? We'll put you back in charge. Just let us in. Let's get rid of Nehemiah, and everything will be there. And Nehemiah turns to them and says, I'm begging you, don't do it. We can make this. This will happen. You just got to trust me. Trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When our enemies heard that it became known to us, the plan was destroyed. And then we went back to work. For whatever reason, they stopped their ambush. They knew they weren't going to make it. So they're like, forget it. And they walked away, and that was it. They dived into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the whole thing ended. They never had to deal with them. From that day on, half of my young men, they were doing the work, and the other half were holding on to their spears and their shields and all the other things that they have. And all the leaders, all the people of Beis Yehuda. So I decided I was going to make work was going to go a little bit slower. Half the work is going to be, and half of them will be guards and stuff like that. But I realized that we have to do something like this. So I'm going to quote to you what he says over here, a tremendous story. He said, there's a story about the escape from Brisk, of the late Brisk Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, the Grizz, and his son, on the day that the Germans occupied the town. I don't know which son this is. I don't know if this is Rav Moshe or somebody else, but their plan was to dress as ordinary businessmen, go to the train station, and nonchalantly buy tickets to the next city. The Rav told his son that while they were in the process of undertaking this very plan, this audacious plan, to like go up when everybody needed, you know, they should concentrate their minds on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and think Ein Od Milvado. Ein Od Milvado, there is nothing besides him. They then went to separate booths to buy their ticket and were indeed unnoticed. But as they were waiting for the train, the Rav saw a German soldier who had become suspicious, heading in his son's direction. The Rav quietly said to his son, don't be Messiah Das, don't stop. Ein Od Milvado, Ein Od Milvado. The soldier looked at them momentarily, simply passed them by. Father and son then boarded the train and escaped. They were able to escape. It's a famous line that there were people that said this line, Eino Movado. Now, don't tell me, what about those people who said Eino Movado and didn't make it through the Holocaust? I don't know. But the Grizz, this story I've heard from a bunch of different places.
Didn't make them confusing with someone else. The Grizz have, like, Pais that went out that
not
way.
Not the Grizz. No, he's going to Baruch Bear.
Okay.
But he was the Princess Leia Pais, right? No. The Grizz, he looked, I don't want to say, looked clean, like, very stately. Very.
He didn't have long Pais?
Pointy beard like that.
He didn't have Pais?
Yashu Bear Soloveitchik. He looks very much like the Grizz. There's a similarity, you can see it in him. Yashuv Soloveitchik was a little bit different. When he got older, he looked more like the Grizz. But the famous picture of the Grizz, you'll see it, you'll be like, oh, that's the Grizz, that's who Yitzhak is at. That was the idea of around it. But it's really amazing. I don't know what they did over here, but somehow they all stopped. They never came up again. Sanballat never fought them again. And they were good. They were good with what they had over here. So we're just going to finish off this parak over here. It says, Haboni b'chom avanosim b'sevel, omsim. The people were building the wall and the people that were carrying all the work and whatever it is, they did it. You know, they did what they needed to do. V'achas yado yisav v'malach v'achas 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 v'shalach. In one hand, they did their work, and in the other hand, they held a weapon. Babonim ish karboa surah mamasnav. The builders each had their sword tied to their waist while they worked. They built. The one who was the horn blower, obviously there was going to be a person. It wasn't a weapon, but somebody who had to let everyone know if something was going to happen. That horn blower was standing right next to me. And I stood by those free men and all the officers. And I said, there's a lot of work to do. We're all separated from the wall. Separated from one another. If you hear the noise of the shofar, then everybody gather there. And Hashem will fight for us. Half of them were carrying the spears from Alos Shachar Tizukhovin. Chazal learned from this pasuk that a day starts at Alos and it ends at Sis. Even though you think sunrise, sunset, officially, halachically, especially when it comes to work, Alos until Tzeis, well, it's brought down in the seventh parak above Mitzvah.
As long as there's light, you could work with a little bit of light.
Yeah, but the point is that halachically, when is a worker required, so to speak? When is considered a work day? So some would say sunrise, sunset. No, it's from Alos until Tzeis. So the Gemara goes through. Does that mean really Alos? When would they daven Shacharis? So it says they would daven Shacharis while they were at work, and they do a little bit. They daven a shortened Shemon Esrei, and Shema would be have to be done at their time, and whatever. But you'd start work at Alos HaShachar, and Tzeis HaKohavim, they have to be home by Tzeis, so they would be able to leave a little bit early. Amazing Gemaras. But it's based on this over here, Melos Shachar at Tzeis HaKohavim. They said, maybe they were different, because this is the base of Mikdash, right? In the base of Mikdash, maybe they wanted to finish quicker and be done in the quickest way possible. Zrizus and going through around here.
The walls of your slime.
So it is, but it's also, you know, trying to build up all the areas around the base of Mikdash. Maybe that's the reason why. And the Gemara says, like, there's another raya. I forget what the other raya is, but this is one of them. This was a, that's why it's a zecher, not a raya. It was a zecher, not a raya. But that's the concept behind it. I mean, from here, there are many people that say, for this reason, Tzeis Chavim is the end of the day, so you can have a mincha until Tzeis. Right? The Hasidim hold that way. Halachically speaking, if you hold that way, then Shabbos doesn't start until Tzeis. The only reason why we hold Shabbos starts at Shkia is really because the Gruz Bein HaShmashos, the Vilna Gaon says Bein HaShmashos is very soon after Tzeis. So there's a bunch of different Shkias. Very soon after Shkia, I'm sorry. There's so many different Shkias, right? But you have like 12 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes.
We hold that Shkia is the beginning of the day for like Bris Milah. The kid is
born. Oh, for sure. Yeah, the day is over at
Shkia.
Yeah.
But we don't wait until Tzeis HaKohavim.
It seems that Tzeis is like this extended period of time. And again, we have this problem. And the real reason why is because we hold like the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon holds that Bein HaShmashos is like right after Shkia. Right? But if we held like the other opinions, like the Magen Avraham says that Bein HaShmashos is the second before Tzeis. That's what Bein HaShmashos says. So technically, according to him, it wouldn't really be Shkia. It's just that we mostly hold that way. But it really shouldn't be that we have 25 hours of Shabbos. We shouldn't do that. You need 24. You hold 8 minutes after Shkia,
no,
right?
No, we have a mincha after Shkia. We could.
Up until 8? Is that Rav Avadia?
He writes for in Israel, where it's shorter than it is in the northern part, at least the United States. Maishal will daven in. Like, if they don't have a minion, they'll daven whenever they get a minion.
It's so funny. I think I remember that tshuva. I don't remember. I thought he said up until 8 or up until 12. Remotion might be 8. I don't remember.
If I'm not mistaken, there's 8 and 12. I think the lowest amount is 13 minutes, and it goes up until 36.
You know where I saw it the first time?
20 minutes or something.
This is why the reason why I looked up the tshuva. It was over here, Zmanim, in the Zmanim app. There's something that says, latest mincha, Chacham Ovadia Yosef.
Really? What does it
515.
Say?
515. Mincha be prayed so long as you are beginning no later than 13.5 shows Zmanios right. Minutes after sunset.
After sunset.
So it's 13.5 shows Zmanios.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I think here it might even be longer.
Maybe. That's possible. No, this goes by
Israel time.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, it could be. I don't remember. But I remember seeing that tshuva. I looked up the tshuva because I saw that on my app, and I was like, what? What is that? Okay, anyway, let's go on. So he says there, Gamba isi yamarti lo'am, at that time I said to the nation, ish v'nao yalina b'soch Yerushalayim, every man can stay overnight in Yerushalayim. In other words, don't go home. I'm worried about you going home at night. What they're going to do? They're going to lie in ambush. Laila mishmor. At night we watched. Vayom malacha. We worked during the day. And that's that because it says hayom malacha, and that's from Alos till Tzeis. Ve'inani va'achayu na'arai ganshi mishmor shacharai. Inenachnu poshim begadenu. We never took off our clothes. Ish shochol amayim. Each man his weapon and his water. They had everything that they needed right there, and that's that. So first of all, by the way, Rav Schwab points out over here, it's possible, and he says, Rav Aaron Marcus, who was a German scholar, I don't know who he is, Rav Marcus, I don't know what he wrote, but he says, this is referring to Netilos Yadayim and Negel Vasser, that the negovasa that they had is what they put right by their beds. This is the source of such a thing, where they used to put negovasa by the bed. I'm not saying the source of negovasa altogether, but the negovasa by the bed says the source is from right over here, over there. And that's that. This is the ishtadlus that they did to be able to go through. And really the truth is, they did everything they could when it comes to stuff like this. So in Nechamya we see there's two parts to this. There's the bitachon, trusting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you and do everything you need when it comes to this. Because that's what Nechamya said to them. Trust in God. That's what he told the rich people over there. But there's also the ishtadlus. You can't just assume that everything's going to work out well. We'll build and Hashem is going to let us do it. You must have the spear in your hand. You must have the weapons around there. And he gives examples. Someone's sick. You have to go through the best medical care. And then you have to dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu that it should work. That he's Rofei Kovas or Mafli Lasos. When it comes to livelihood, you have to do everything possible, employ all permissible means to get a livelihood, right? And then dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu that the livelihood should work. That you should actually make money through that livelihood itself. The idea behind it. So when everything happened over here, this is a major problem. What we're going to get into in the next parak over here is that things weren't good. These people were dirt poor. They had already gone through a destruction. They were building up the walls. They had been off of work for 50 days now, and maybe even a little bit longer than that, right? They hadn't worked because they were all doing this over here, and the people were dirt poor. Under this economic pressure, there was a lot of things going on that wasn't so good. They were mortgaging fields and mortgaging parts of the house to the rich people in town, right? And saying, listen, we'll pay it back when we have the ability to pay back. And all of a sudden, these loans were coming due, right? And these poor people were sitting there like, we don't have the money. We literally have nothing. We were poor to begin with. Now we have absolutely nothing. And there were being these rich people were taking advantage of the situation and taking ribbis and stuff like that, right? A large part of the population became extremely poor while the rich became even richer. And this next parak deals with Nechemiah's line where he goes up with a strong, mighty arm and he says, you guys can't do this. And they listened and they gave back the money. It's an amazing, they lost money on the deal. They said, okay, we'll give back the money. If they couldn't pay us back, we'll forgive the loans. It's an amazing, what Nechemiah does in this parak is absolutely amazing. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine like going up to a bunch of rich people and just being like, you are giving money to these poor people and that's it, right? And they're just like, sir, yes, sir. It's amazing what he's about to do. It's just crazy. Yeah. All right, we'll stop with that right over here. We're up to parak.